The Tao of Self-Confidence, Episode 415.
Welcome to the Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. Visit our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.
Well, hello, friend. Welcome to the Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. I'm your host today, Sheena Yap Chan, and today I have a phenomenal lady on the show today. She is a chairmom and chief creative officer of Dentsu Hime Saifu, and I'm just really excited to have her on today to share her story with us on self-confidence. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Merle Hime. Merle, how are you today? Maybe you can fill in a little bit more about yourself to our listeners.
Hi, Sheena. I'm Merle Hime, and I am the chair mom. They call me the chair mom. It's probably the only title, very unique title in the world. So whenever I have speaking engagements around the world and I say chair mom, everybody would look at me like, why? It's something that reminds me of my role at work and at home. At work, I'm like the mom of everyone there. So I take care of the careers of everyone around me, making sure that they're on the right path in terms of what they want to be in advertising and to move up. While at home, I have 4 daughters. So I try my best to become a very good role model to them. And I run from my meetings to the school. So I'm also part of the usual parent-teacher thing. So it's sort of like a title that reminds me of my 2 lives. So that's basically it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And Merle, what's your cultural background?
I'm a Filipino, and I'm very much, I've worked all my life in the Philippines, but I have a lot of roles all around the world. But I'm here, I work because, having 4 girls, I literally am hands-on. On raising my daughter. So I've never had the chance to accept any regional background. But I'm Filipino, and I'm very much a Roman Catholic, if that is something, because I probably discuss it later on, what the effect of that to my work.
Thanks for sharing that. And what would be your favorite self-confidence quote?
It's one of my very own. I didn't get anyone's quote, but it's really follow your instinct. It's every woman's greatest special power. Especially, I'm a mom, and how moms have instincts. That's very natural to all of us. So that's it. And if I follow it, I know it's something to do with something good and have a good feeling about it. So that's really it.
Thanks for sharing that. And I really like that quote. I love when guests come here and they create their own quotes. I think it's great. And especially, when it comes to following your instincts or intuition, especially growing up as Asian women, we're never told to follow our instincts. It's more like go to school, get a job, get married, and just follow what everyone else does. So I think, a great lesson to learn is just learn to follow your intuition. Even if it doesn't look like it's going in the right path, just follow it anyways. Like it's giving you a sign for a reason. So thanks for sharing that. And in your own words, how do you define self-confidence?
It's something like self-confidence for me is when you care more about how you feel. Again, it's going back to the instinct. So when you care more about how you feel in it, how the world or other people feels about you. So sometimes when following your instinct is wrong, maybe seem wrong at some point, eventually it will turn out right. Maybe it seems wrong because it's going against the grain and people don't like it, or it seemed wrong because the world seems like looking at you in a weird way by doing it. In the long run, in my whole life, I've realized that sometimes following it, what feels good about yourself, is always right, can never be wrong.
Thanks for sharing that. And I love how you mentioned that. A lot of people feel like when they go in the wrong path, it's like they're doomed for failure. But sometimes, like you mentioned, the wrong path will lead you to the right path, right? It might take, 10,000 times or 1,000 times, but eventually it'll lead you to the right path. So I really love that definition that you mentioned. And Merle, what was your life like before your discovery of self-confidence?
Well, at a very young age, as I've said, I'm very religious because of my mom, the way she brought me up. I mean, I was always her sidekick. So when I was growing up, I was always accompanying her at church, whatever. So when I was first year high school, I decided one day, maybe the creative in me is the rebellious side of me. I said, I want to run away from home because I have so many questions that's unanswered. So I entered a convent, and I left home. I wrote a note to my mom and I said, I'm going in And it was a contemplative convent. When you enter, you cannot leave. Or if you decide to leave, you cannot go back. So I decided, I was 13. I'm going to die if my daughter did that to me. I have a 13-year-old daughter now, my youngest. And I just decided to enter, and then I decided to stay. It was a Benedictine monastery. I was a novitiate. I was too young to have vows. And I spent 3 years doing Ora et Labora, and that is work and pray. So it's a weird background. And one day, as a rebellious girl I was, I just told the Mother Superior, I'm done. I was 16. I want to go home. And they let me because I don't have vows. When I got out, you know, a year passed, I was able to go back to school. I had some kind of special tests wherein they placed me if I'm okay to go college or what. And I ended up in college. I was sort of ashamed. I was embarrassed of that part of my life. It wasn't normal. People were talking about their high school classmates and their lives, and it seemed exciting. I missed that because I was in a convent taking care of goats and horses and planting in the fields. So I sort of like embarrassed to really reveal that part of my life. And that was, I felt a little bit insecure of that past because I didn't have a high school life. I couldn't keep up with the stories and how they would talk about their high school excitement, exciting things, boys, whatever. I couldn't. And I didn't want to tell them about that life because I'm going to end up like a goody two shoes. And I don't want to show them I'm goody goody. And it seemed uncool. So I kept it. And I really like, I want to show them that I could break rules. I want to be like them. I want to be bad. Because I really wanted to be accepted, just like any kid. And I kept that. So that was me before discovering self-confidence.
Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, sometimes we're so afraid of our past that people would judge us, right? You know, especially living in the Philippines, you know, a lot of people like to talk. And, you know, sometimes, like you mentioned, we get ashamed. We want to be a part of the crowd because we feel like we can't be our own person. And, you know, that's something that we all go through, right? Whether it's being in a convent or doing something else. But what was that one point in your life when you realized, you know, you didn't have to be ashamed of your past and you can go on and do amazing things and be the person that you are today? What was that aha moment?
Well, because it was a very well-kept secret of mine, so I'm creative. So I went through college, I graduated and everything. I got into a creative industry, which is advertising, and it was a very stressful life. I mean, you know, you have your product is to think of ideas 24/7, and it's not easy to keep your mind working like that, to keep to have fresh ideas, the competition amongst yourselves, the backstabbing, the political, the politics of it. You will not survive it if you don't have anything to hold on to. You don't have beliefs. And somehow, my background in that convent years ago was helping me, like clearing my thoughts. I was able to meditate. I was able to clear my thoughts of useless things. I was able to focus on briefs like nobody else. When you're creative, your mind like is sometimes very chaotic. Mine, I could discipline it like very well. Because of that, ideas come and go very fast. The way I present is very clear. Things like that. If you compare me to any other creative out there, I could say I was very disciplined. And it got me to owning my own agencies years after. And now that somehow when I look at myself, I never had depression. I never ran out of ideas. My ideas were okay. I have a little way of dealing with reading people, which is very, very important in advertising, reading your consumers and your clients and your employees. I sort of like one day attributed everything to my past, and I slowly embraced my past. And then I started writing about it, like, for example, clearing your thoughts. That's very important now in my job. And then I would dig up what I went through. What training did I go through in the combat? That's why it's so easy for me to clear my thoughts. Things like that. So I wrote chapter after chapter of all the learnings I had years ago and then compared it, or at least what did I learn from that and why am I like this today? I wrote it and then I pitched it to one publishing company and they loved it and we printed it. It's now a mandatory book in every single creative college. So that's how I sort of like, oh my God, if I kept it for years and I did not even realize and didn't give like, you know, it was worth everything of what I am today, it's going to be hidden. And nobody would learn from it. So now I can share it. So it's out there. It's out there in the bookstore.
Thanks for sharing that. You know, that's such an amazing story. You know, like we said, you know, our past really shape us into what we are today. Like if you never went to the convent, like you wouldn't probably go through what you go through today, you know, learning to clear out your mind, meditate, and, you know, be able to have your ideas, you know, come to life. And, you know, because of that, what's your life been like now?
It has liberated me from a secret. So now I even speak about it. They invite me to give talks about it. And the thing about the Philippines is very much very Catholic. So even it's funny, it's so ironic. I never wanted to be the Miss Goody Two Shoes. I ended up like half Goody Two Shoes because I showed them that I was in a convent before. I was like an ex-nun. But then again, I'm past the ex-nun. I have four kids now. I'm in a business which is very sinful in a way that I'm selling. It's a very kind of worldly industry. But I show them how goodness can guide me back and how I give back now with my CSR work and all the campaigns I've been doing that I have to push values, pushing people to keep their values intact. I come up with nice ideas for children and things like that. So that's how it has come full circle for me. So when I show them that, there's irony in it, but at the same time, people can understand why I'm doing this today. And there's no regrets. I'm not apologetic of my past now. I've fully embraced it, as I've said earlier. And even in my title, Chair Mom, it reminds me that power should bring me down to what my purpose is. Because there's a lot more responsibility when the higher you go up with power, the bigger power you have. So it keeps me grounded. So that's the 50-50 part of me, and it has guided me throughout.
Thanks for sharing that. And I really love what you mentioned about power, you know, going down to your core values, because I think some people forget about that, right? They see power as like this authority that they have to be and, you know, take the wrong idea about it. But really, it's all about how we can inspire people or live our purpose to inspire others to do the same. So I really love that you mentioned that. And to the woman who's listening to your episode, she may be in her own journey of self-confidence. What'd be that one tip you would give to her?
First, again, it's going back to instinct. During that time, maybe it seemed wrong to run away from my home. Yes. But there was something, I believe this, you have a lot of callings in life. It's not never one. Look, I'm probably at that time, I thought my calling was being a nun, and then I let that go, and I moved, and then I thought my calling was in communication, therefore I went to communication, and then now I'm now pushing, you know, helping women, other women to find their own voices, and, you know, I'm a little bit of feminist today. Whatever that is, I have a lot of callings in life, but there's one purpose. It's to bring goodness, I think. The one thing I used to be afraid of to be labeled as Goody Two Shoes is guiding me today to bring back values. There's a lot of hatred in this world, and I love to bring a little more of goodness to it. And that's one of my purpose. For someone young, so young, whatever is there inside you, you think your calling is, do not stop it. Just embrace it because it can change. It can lead you to that one purpose later on. So just accept and accept. It can change. You can have a hundred callings for all I care. But just accept it. It changes anyway. But it leads you to one great purpose. The other one is, you know, try to look for your special power. I call it equity. In the office, I ask everyone, what's your one word equity? Mine was restless when I was younger. They changed it to relentless when I'm older. There's one word that would describe only you in this whole world. And when someone asks me, you know, Merle, I want to be this kind of art director. Why would you want to be an art director like him when you may have your own special powers, just like your X-Men or your Avengers? No one has the same power to fight all these evil things around you. You have to have different powers so that whatever happens, if it's air, you are, let's say, water. If there's fire, you battle that with water. If all of you would be fire, no one would battle it. So the thing is, embrace, look for it, discover what superpower you have, what makes you different among others, among all other young people, and then try to nurture it. Try to look for a mentor that will nurture it. That's the way to make it strong, and follow it, because eventually you're going to be good at it, and that's why what people will look for when they see you.
Thanks for sharing that. Those are all great tips, you know, especially, you know, the instinct is really huge, right? I think learning to follow our instinct is something that, you know, as women, we have to practice, kind of like riding a bike. The more we do it, the better we get at it. So I really love all the tips that you mentioned. And Merle, if our listeners wanted to get to know a little bit more about you and what you do, is there any links or social media profiles we can connect with?
You can check out all our work on our site, densuhaimesaifu.com. You will see all our kinds of work. We even have some, we have a new one that's called sistergood.com. Sistergood is something that we are pushing for women at work. This is all about an insight that sometimes more than men pushing us down to lead, to go up the corporate ladder, it's actually other women who's pushing us down. So in the office, I try my best to push every single woman to be like a support partner for everyone. It's like some of the women are babysitting other children so that they could bring their kids to work. Some people would, some are single parents, you know, so we help out each other. Some are mentoring each other. So we launched that in the world, in the Women's International Day, actually more of the Women's International Month. It's called Sistergood. So all of that will be in our site if you want to check it out.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And to our listeners, if you want to connect with Merle, you can head on over to the thetaoofselfconfidence.com and search for Merle's name. Her show notes will pop up along with everything else we talked about. And I just want to thank Merle for taking the time to share her story and tips with us on self-confidence. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Sheena. Thanks for this call.
Not a problem. It was great having you on the show. And to our listeners, be on the lookout for another new episode of Another Amazing Woman's Journey to Self-Confidence. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence. Want to learn how you can use podcasting to market your business? Download your free report by visiting our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.